On International Yoga Day, you are participating in a panel discussion on yoga for well-being. How exactly do you define yoga?
Yoga is commonly looked upon as a form of exercise. However, there are two specific parts in what we call the facet of yoga. One is the science of body culture, and the other is the science of mind culture. Now, any task that you do requires concentration, and a continuous focus of concentration is called meditation. So obviously, yoga is no different. You need a lot of concentration, as yoga is highly geometrical when you practice the asanas. If we integrate the two, the bodily science which Yoga Marg gives and the metaphysical where you look after the mind, if both integrate, then that state of existence where a man becomes extremely poised is called yoga. This is the real meaning of the word yoga. Not just standing on your head doing asanas. That's one part of it, a very small part of it. So yoga means a state of existence within oneself. Like how you meet the world, how you meet life's challenges. That is yoga.
This year, International Yoga Day is being observed at a time when we are still dealing with a global health crisis. Given its impact on physical and mental health and overall well-being, how yoga can help people recover faster and better and improve their immunity as well?
There is enough research in science which shows that people who exercise habitually have better immunity. There are enough papers to show this, number one. Number two, there is also evolving research which shows that there is an effect of the mind on the body, which we all know. Your asthma becomes worse when you're stressed up and so on. We know that. And it also affects the immunity. The human body and mind are interconnected. There's an interplay of forces. Now, having established this basic physiological fact, in our daily life, when we exercise, we should not just merely exercise in a physical sense, but we should put our mind into the movement. Only then there comes a certain sense of quietude in the mind and the cells of the body. In that aspect, yoga is very unique because yoga is the only exercise which gives you cellular quietness, which hibernates you. Other systems of exercise do not hibernate you. Yoga is the only system of exercise which brings down the sympathetic tone as you do it and at the end of doing it. And especially pranayam brings down the heart rate, whereas all other systems of exercise increase the heart rate while doing it. But later on, they give you a little slower heart rate as a result of chronic training. But when you do a session of pranayam, immediately you can see the heart rate going down. So which means when we are exposed to constant stress in our daily life, we face a lot of sympathetic stress. And that is where yoga is a valuable tool for us to combat this. The fall of immunity is multifactorial, your lifestyle, your diet. If you suffer from low vitamin D levels in the body, your immunity is affected. If you exercise habitually, your blood circulation is better. When you do pranayam, your breath circle is better in your sinuses and your nasal membranes. Your lungs become more elastic. This is where in today's time of the COVID situation, if somebody has been exercising regularly, not just yoga, any form of exercise for that matter, they will be able to have a better strength capacity to face the infection and recovery should be more comfortable. One should not think that the exercise makes your body invulnerable, but the recovery path will be much more comfortable and you're more resistant. Okay. Now, what is the specialty of yoga in this situation? Now, of course, there are conventional breathing exercises. Yes, it's very valuable. One cannot expect somebody in the ICU to do pranayam. Once the patient is discharged, then what do? When the energy levels come back, to a certain extent that one can begin walking comfortably and moving around in the house, that's when you can start yoga. One can use props to do yoga, and the patient, even if he or she is weak, they can be made to lie on certain specialized gadgets which can help them to breathe better, ventilate the lungs. And therefore, a habitual practice of pranayam has always kept your immune system in the lung, the ciliary system, activated so they react better when faced with a crisis. So I think in today's COVID crisis, the science of yoga is unparalleled in helping, boosting, aiding recovery. As a clinician, I have no doubt on this.
I read your profile. You started practicing yoga at a very young age. You have a degree in medicine. and now you're a medical practitioner as well. Tell us about how you have integrated Western medicine with yoga.
You see, I'll have to go back in time a little bit. When I was 15, my journey in yoga began, if I could call it a journey. I loved doing physical things. And a math teacher of mine gave me a yoga book and said, why didn't you try this? So I never believed in all those things. I said, okay, let me try it. And I felt fantastic. So I started practicing yoga every day. And then the interest became deeper because I felt so good doing it. And that's when the trouble began, because I did something wrongly. I injured my back and my hips and so on. And then I tried several methods of yoga, etc. And then by God's grace, I came across Sri BKS Iyengar, the world authority on yoga and especially the medical application of yoga. And the pain that had lasted for six to seven years disappeared in 1 week. It is then when I realized that when you practice yoga, there is a specific method when you do it, and you can't just arbitrarily do it. Every exercise has a certain technique. I mean, when you throw javelin, there is a method, which muscle you use. So yoga also has a method. When I learned that, and then in his institute, I saw many, many patients who were recovering from serious medical ailments much faster than conventional medicine could aid them too. And that's what stimulated me to look at this and start investigating it. And I started using ultrasound as a tool to find out the claims of yoga. For example, when you do a particular asana, I have used ultrasound and exactly documented how much of blood flow is happening in that area, which can be useful for certain medical disorders. Now, when you stand on your head, they generally say that your blood flow increases to the brain. So I wanted to find out if that was correct. So I did an ultrasound on myself in the brain. So this is the way I started integrating it. And I use yoga as a primary modality of treatment in my clinical practice, especially the prime role of yoga, I would say, as a clinician, I've had 35 years of experience in this field, is chronic orthopedic pain management. So yoga is not only a curative science, it's also a preventive science. While yoga cannot be claimed as a panacea for all diseases, its scope is very, very wide. So I integrate this, I do lab tests, I diagnose the ailment. If medication is necessary, I give the medication. If not, I avoid it and then start yoga if I give medication. If I don't give medication, I straight away start yoga as a tool for the patient's management. But I tell them one thing, there is a caveat. Once you get cured, make sure you practice yoga regularly so that you don't come back to the same situation. So then I tell them yoga is not a medicine anymore. It is now your lifestyle.
The UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development is an ambitious vision for a better and healthy future for all. In what ways yoga can contribute to wider societal well-being?
You see, yoga is a lifestyle. It is a preventive science and a curative science, as I initially mentioned. And if one wants to reduce our medical expenditure, it is very important that we all take a healthy lifestyle first. And a healthy lifestyle begins with getting up at a proper time, proper diet, proper sleep patterns, sleep-wake patterns. Then one can start practicing yoga. It has been shown that people who practice yoga visit doctors very infrequently because they're pretty physically fit. Not just yoga, look at other exercises too. So I think yoga being a unique science, and if every human being takes up to the practice of yoga from childhood, which means it brings us to the parents have to set an example to the child to uptake a healthy lifestyle. And if the parents are not involved in this, I'm sure the next generation cannot be saved. So when we as a world, as a consolidated entity, the United Nations wants to improve preventive healthcare and make forages into our health and protect ourselves, it has to start with the lifestyle of every family. I think that is where the first step, the family should be involved, and yoga should be a family practice, not just somebody practicing it out of a fad or an interest. So if every part of our body is kept under a certain degree of fitness, the susceptibility to ailments has to come down. This is where I think we should take a very broad view. And as doctors, we should encourage people to follow a healthy lifestyle, not only by prescribing it by just giving oration to it, but actually practice it ourselves. If I do not practice yoga and I merely tell you to do it, I think there's a disconnect. But if I actually practice it, the passion in me, which gives me the conviction that it does something to me, will also rub off on you. The change has to take place in man's inner being for health to come.